This is WHCC in Holland, and it's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. And we're going to welcome back today Dr. Hurlimer, and good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Juke, listening audience, and it's great to be back.
Yeah.
My favorite hobby. Thanks to you, Juke. And to all medical staff personnel at the different offices, medical offices around here, we got to hang in there together with this new Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Just hang in there. We're going to get through it.
Yeah.
America always gets through things.
Somehow we will get
Somehow.
Through
it. It may be a little bit muddy, but hopefully, you know, pray to God we get through it.
Right, right.
And,
all right.
And take care of patients again.
Did you learn anything new on your sojourn?
Many, many different things. I attended several medical conferences down in at Sarasota Memorial Hospital, usually on a Friday morning between 8 and 9. They have guest lecturers who they fly in from little places like Mayo or Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, yeah.
And they give them a week vacation time as their
That's
honorarium,
nice.
Which is nice. And you learn a lot about cancer therapies, new cancer therapies on the horizon, especially antibody vaccines. It's so exciting. I wish I were younger.
Let me interrupt you here because we have a call coming
up. Oh, wonderful.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yes, I'd like to know if a person who is on dialysis, if that can significantly lower their blood sugar.
Yes.
Okay, because I have no person that's having that problem.
Yes.
Thank you.
They have to be given some IV fluid along with the dialysis to reinstate the minerals and to also reinstate the sugar. The glucose. So, yes, they can drop their sugar, their glucose levels quite a bit.
Okay, thank you.
To have replacement at the same time.
Okay. Now, about your trip?
Yes. And the exciting thing is the different antibody vaccines that are coming out with research, okay, that actually block the bad antibodies. It's almost like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Within the immune system. And that is so exciting to me because one of my hobbies is immunology.
Yeah.
And that, I think, if we can boost immunity somehow through good health care, through good rest, like good sleep patterns, etc., if possible, good nutrition and so on, we can boost our own immune systems. But if we come down with a disease, let's say lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or multiple sclerosis and so on, which are on the increase, we can block the bad antibodies that are causing those diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole idea. It's sort of like a cruise missile going after the bad things, or a drone going after the bad players.
Even if we could lick some of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm very optimistic in the next 20 years, and especially amongst the new generation of physicians that are now in medical school, I'm a little bit envious because they, I think, will be able to affect cures for certain diseases. And we already have an antibody vaccine against allergy antibody, the antibody of allergy. But the biggest stumbling block, as always, is the cost of these products. And that's what has to happen. If the cost would only come down, we could use real good vaccines to counteract the bad allergic reactions that some patients have.
Yeah.
And talking about new allergy medicine, the FDA 2 weeks ago finally approved an oral immunotherapy, that is an oral injection, oral allergy program for grasses only, though. And it's a tablet that you take once a day under the tongue. You let it dissolve under the tongue. And it gives almost as good immunity to the grasses as our allergy injections.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did, I not only looked up the product, but just this morning, I called one of my favorite pharmacists on the north side. I won't mention a name. And he found out for me the retail price. Are you ready? And this is still the problem. $422 per month for one tablet per day. Now, who is going to afford that?
I know it.
And there is another drug company coming out, and I think they will get FDA approval for the weeds, including ragweed. And then there's another drug company coming out with an oral tablet to desensitize you to trees. But the big drawback is you have to give not only a loading dose, okay, but you also have to start it about 3 to 4 months before the season starts in order to get enough reduction of allergic reaction. Mm-hmm. Well, grass season, I think, is less than 2 months away.
Right.
The tree season, I think, is going to start very soon. So I think we'll have to wait till next year. And I think we'll have to wait, unfortunately, till the price comes down.
Yeah.
I mean, $422, that's a lot of money for 1 month of treatment.
Takes a large chunk out of a Social Security check.
I'm afraid it's not going to be covered by Medicare unless the price comes down drastically.
Yeah.
And that's the pity. I love research and development, but when it comes finally to market after FDA approval, the big stumbling block, unfortunately, is still the financial aspect. And most insurance companies wait 6 to 9 months of use by individuals before they really start covering it. So for the time being, I still recommend for severe allergy sufferers the allergy injection route.
We're here with the doctor this morning, and if you have a question for the doctor, 395-1450, our line is open. This is Dr. Hurlbummer, and he is here to take your calls. So if you have something on your mind medically, he'll try to answer that for you.
Okay? We sure will try.
All right.
And we're hearing more and more about the norovirus again.
Yes.
And the simple thing is, please wash your hands. Wash the hands. That's the secret. And it's just amazing to me when I go to stop at these rest areas.
Yeah.
I do sort of my own survey. Maybe I shouldn't tell this over the radio, but I think a study was done many, many years ago amongst doctors, and it turns out that I would say after going to the bathroom, right, about 70% of doctors will wash their hands.
Uh-huh.
But that means 30% don't wash their hands,
right,
and they're doctors.
Yeah.
But in the general public, at the rest areas at least, I'd say it's 50% wash their hands.
Mm-hmm.
That means the other 50% go away
with germs.
On their hands. And I'm going, wait a minute. you almost want to put up a sign, please wash your hands.
Yeah.
But, and The norovirus is killed off with good hand washing
right.
technique and with good hand sanitizer technique. And we just have to get used to doing that again.
It seems to infect certain foods, though.
Yes, yes. Foods that are not properly refrigerated.
Mm-hmm.
And or a carrier of the norovirus, for example, will contaminate the food that they're preparing, or glassware, or drinkingware, or eating utensils. That virus can survive.
Right.
So we have to be very diligent about, you know, hygiene, personal hygiene. And certain bacteria, like the Salmonella bacteria, they love egg products, dairy products, egg products, and so on. And again, proper refrigeration should eliminate some of it. But still, the hand-washing technique. And lo and behold, we were visiting Washington, D.C. Last week with the family. And in most public places, they're using a Clorox, one-part Clorox to nine parts water.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful solution.
Yeah.
Don't get it on your clothing. It'll bleach your clothing. But the countertops and so on, with every time they prepare food, after they dish out the food, then wipe off that preparation
right.
counter.
And we have a call here.
Yes.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Hello, doctor.
Hello.
Couldn't a lot of this food poisoning that people think they get come from these all-you-can-eat places where people grab
yes.
food over and over and
yes.
over?
Yes, yes.
And they just don't understand that. Someone went to the bathroom and wiped their mouth and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. You're 100% right.
Just thinking about that, it's like, that's why we don't go to these all-you-can-eat places.
We are all our worst enemy when it comes to not hand-washing.
Yeah.
Or
these restaurants get blamed for it when it's not.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we all carry bacteria on our skins, on our skin organ. And our immune system is used to those bacteria. A good, healthy immune system is used to living in harmony with our own bacteria.
Yeah.
But if we get a strain of somebody else's bacteria, it may be the same E. coli or same Salmonella that we have, but, in the family, okay?
Yeah.
But it may be a totally different strain, a mutant strain, and that's how the disease spreads. You're right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Got a question for the doctor? Give us a call, 395-1450. Our line is open here this morning, and we'd be happy to have the doctor talk to you. Okay.
And in the field of asthma, we're making more and more progress.
Really?
That is the best news possible, because amongst the pediatric population, that's one of the biggest reasons for hospitalization to this day yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very expensive. Hospitalizations are getting very expensive. And emergency room treatments are getting very, very expensive.
Yeah.
And there's many reasons for that, but I won't elaborate yet on those. But many different forms of inhalers are out there now to help us control swelling inside the airways. And that's the secret. You've got to treat inflammation, because inflammation is not good for the body. And it's not good for the immune system, because when something swells, the immune system, after a while, cannot penetrate what is causing the inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot get in there in swollen tissue. It's like trying to swim in an ice-covered pond. You can't do it. And the body tries to protect itself through swelling, but the immune system has a tough time getting in there to to knock out the inciter of that swelling. And that's the biggest problem. If we can cut down on inflammation, I think we could cut down on incidence of heart disease, cancers, autoimmune diseases, et cetera, et cetera. Inflammation seems to be the common denominator, and I heard a lecture many years ago from a Mayo Clinic physician here at Holland Hospital. We invited him to speak, and he's also doing clinical research, which is great. He was doing clinical research at that time, and that's his common denominator for most diseases in human beings. Inflammation. Mm-hmm. If you can stop the inflammatory response of the body, you will be able to help treat diseases.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the doctor a question, and I'll hang up and listen for the answer.
Okay.
Has any progress been made on neurology pertaining to PLS? Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the first part.
Any progress been made in urology?
In urology.
PLS.
I don't know about that disease.
Oh, well, maybe have to call back and tell us about it.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I'm stumped.
Yeah.
Well, PLS.
That's the first time we've ever stumped you on
there. I know.
It
must be vacation time.
Well, maybe somebody knows.
PLS. If the caller can call back and ask me that question.
Okay. 395-1450 is the number. You got the big book there?
I've got the big book.
Okay.
I've got to look it up.
No.
I do. I've been stumped. Touché.
Okay, here's the call.
Touché.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Hey, good morning, you two. Hey, this is not a prank call. This is actually happened not that long ago. Somebody we know in a leadership authority, he had blamed his homosexuality on taking Vicodin.
Oh, come on.
This
is not a joke.
No, sir. No, if you did your own research on the Internet, you'd probably, I'm not going to name who he is, but he was caught, and his defense was it was Vicodin, and a lot of people believed him.
I'm sorry.
there's no side effect that says it causes temporarily homosexuality or anything.
I don't think so.
All right. I kind of knew the answer, but I just wanted to make sure, coming from a doctor.
That Jay Leno would love that.
You're right. I think you're right. All right.
Thank you.
But he's retired now, so.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's interesting. 395-1450 is the number here for the doctor. And
now, with PLS, I just wish a urologist would call the program right now and explain to me what that is. I'm stumped.
Good morning. You're online with
PLS.
The doctor.
Yeah, pertaining to that PLS, that would be primary lateral sclerosis.
Oh, it's not urology, it's neurology. Right?
I see.
Yeah.
That would be
any progress made. I thought it was urology. I'm sorry. That's what I heard. Neurology. No. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis and peripheral lateral sclerosis and so on. They are doing lots of research. They are trying to figure out the genetic predisposition to it. Okay? And I think one of the therapies is going to be trying to block the gene, if they can find the genes, and insert a inert gene in place of that bad gene. Actually, place a good gene in place of the bad gene. And so this is now into the biotech arena of genetic engineering. that is the big thrust with some of these neurological diseases. Now, there is an interesting article, many articles, I should say, about the advantage of taking vitamin D3. That's D as in Delta, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the northern climates, these neurological disorders are more common. And one of the theories that the neurologists are proposing or have proposed, and research seems to indicate it, that we need higher levels here in the northern climates where we don't get enough sunlight of vitamin D3. And we can measure levels of vitamin D3 in the blood, very easy test to do. And I personally was found to be vitamin D deficient. And I was placed on initially 4,000 international units of vitamin D3, and I'm right now down to 2,000 international units per day. And guess what? My vitamin D3 level is totally normal. And have I noticed any improvement in my diabetic neuropathy? Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. But once you have a neuropathy, etc., then we have to use anti-inflammatory drugs. But if we can prevent it, that's the best medicine to use.
Sure.
Would be the vitamin D3. I can only recommend it highly because we all need about 15 to 20 minutes of sun exposure to our skin, because the skin actually manufactures it. It's right. One of the few compounds, one of the few vitamins that we can actually produce in our own body. And it's used up very rapidly. So theoretically, you're supposed to have sun exposure 15 minutes to 20 minutes a day. And we're all getting a little bit fanatical about the sunscreens, which are wonderful, don't get me wrong. But if maybe for the first 15 minutes during the summer, okay,
mm-hmm.
or the spring, or the early fall, if we could expose our skin naturally to sunlight, okay, mm-hmm. just for 15 minutes, you're not right. going to get sun damage as such if you do that.
Okay.
You'll get enough vitamin D3.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, 395-1450, our number here on Talk the Town. Unless we get a little more sunshine each day, we're not going to be able to absorb that much.
Oh, sunshine on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Gives a new meaning to
right.
that song.
Sure does. Okay.
But, yeah, oh, I'm glad I wasn't too stumped. Because I misunderstood, you know.
Right. Okay.
You know when the hearing starts going a little bit.
Is it? Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It does.
But they have some great hearing aids nowadays.
I know. But we have to be careful as to who we buy it from.
Yes.
Make sure if somebody tells you you need a hearing aid, make sure you get second or even third opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the variability of cost of some of these things, and most of them are, well, all of them are the digital hearing aids. The only thing that's different, really, is the price.
Yeah.
And so shop around.
Shop around.
Be a wise consumer.
And make sure you get the right one.
Get the right one for your, and make sure that it's seated properly and that it's followed up properly,
yeah.
because they have to be fine-tuned with the computer
yeah,
to get
do.
The right decibel rating and the higher frequencies and so on. So in Florida, there's some investigation going on.
Oh, is there?
That's all I can say.
Okay.
About some of these audiology places.
Yeah.
Over-prescribing hearing aids.
Yeah.
And so be careful. And not all hearing loss is due to the ear problem, it can be a sign of something going on in the hearing section of our brains.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful.
Okay.
It's a word to the wise.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're not going back down south?
No. I think near the end of September, when it's quiet.
Yes.
The tourists this year, and I think it's because of the northern winter season, they had record number of tourists.
I believe that.
Including yours truly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks like we're out of time for right now.
Well, I thank you as always, and it's been a pleasure.
Once again, inform us on various things relative to our good health.
We try.
All right.
We try.
Thank you very much.